Okay, and here we have one last talk for the day. I hope we will be back next year or in other venues, of course. Okay, up next, and that's not what you would consider a standard GNU tools package, but it has GNU in it and it's compiler tools related.
It's definitely GNU Lightning. It's
GNU Lightning, so there we go. You will tell us some details about that. Paul Kirkay about GNU Lightning, cross-platform just-in-time compilation.
Okay. In the pocket. Yeah. Hello, I hope everybody can hear me right. My name is Paul Kirkay. I'm going to talk about a small library I've been using for the last 10 years already. It's called GNU Lightning. If you browse the official website of GNU Lightning, or if you go to the Wikipedia page, you will read this sentence. GNU Lightning is a library that generates assembly language at runtime. I kind of disagree with that. I would say it doesn't generate assembly language. It does generate machine code at runtime. And what is it exactly? Well, if you imagine a JIT engine, Lightning would be only the code generation part. It does provide you with what you could imagine as a virtual CPU with virtual registers and virtual opcodes. And I think the thing that is most interesting about GNU Lightning is it's cross-platform. And by cross-platform, if there's somebody that has an Amiga in the room, it's the only person that can say, hey, it's not running on my CPU, but that everybody else should be covered, right? And it does work, you know, on all the common ones, and 32-bit, 64-bit, little endian, big endian. It's LGPL version 3. It's written in C. It has no dependencies. I think the only thing you could consider a dependency, and that's, I mean, you can even work around that, is all the memory mapping functions and map and protect, stuff like that. It was created in 2000, so it's 25 years old, by Paolo Bonzini, and it's been developed and used for GNU Smalltalk and C-Lisp. In 2008, it moved to Git. The maintainer is Paolo Cesar Pereira de Andrade, and it's at version 2.2.3 right now. And personally, I'm not the author. I just contributed a few optimizations, and I wrote the SH4 backend. A little bit about my involvement in that project. Well, I'm working on my own JIT engine that uses GNU Lightning. It's a JIT engine for PlayStation 1 emulator. And if you're interested in that, you should go see my talk about it tomorrow. So why would you use Lightning? Well, people could tell me, we are in the GCC dev room. People would tell me, yeah, why don't you just use libgcc JIT? There are actually different tools for different purposes. LLVM, GCC, libgcc JIT, they were designed mostly for languages. So they manipulate concepts that when you want to do binary translation or things like that, you just don't have. You don't have the concept of variable, for instance, or the concept of functional blocks. So they are very language-focused, and as such, they also have very language-focused optimizations. They were also designed mostly for ahead-of-time compiling, which means they have very, very powerful optimizations, and they generally generate very, very fast code, but they do it slowly. And in my case, in my emulator, I need to recompile 10,000 pieces of code per second. And then if I use LLVM or libgcc JIT, it just takes minutes when I only have 16 milliseconds. And Lightning helps here, because Lightning is very good at generating bad code, but it does it very, very fast. A little bit about the API. So it gives you a minimum of 6 general purpose registers and 6 floating point registers. the way you use them is basically it's their macros. So you have from JIT R0 to JIT R2 plus if you have more than three color saved registers, JIT V0 to JIT V2 plus if Coli saved registers, and six floating points, JIT F0 to JIT F5 plus. You have a simple register allocator using the functions JIT get reg, JIT and get reg. But the thing is, this register allocator is just going to return one of the three registers that is listed above. If you're not going, if you don't need, you know, to dynamically allocate a register, you don't need that. And you can also, you know, implement your own register allocator, just, you know, manipulating the register that you already have. In the API, so you have virtual opcodes. They're basically macros that allow you to generate a specific instruction. And you have these virtual opcodes for all kinds of things, binary operations, arithmetic, etc. Each instruction is basically the name of the opcode, mul or sub. Most time there's a register or immediate flag which allows you to specify the type of the last parameter, if it's a register or if it's an immediate value, and if applicable, a type suffix. So for instance, you have the format on the top. So the format of the macro you would call would be JIT underscore the name of the opcode, or I, then the type and the parameters. And according to, you know, that's just one small sample of all the opcodes that you have, but yeah. A little bit about branching. To create a forward branch, you would add, you know, branching opcode. In this code, it's the BXY, so branch if equal immediate. So if the register R0 is equals to 0, then it's going to branch. And then a bit further in your program, you can just patch the node. So you just say, yeah, I want this previous branch to jump to this address. For backwards branch, it's a bit similar but different. You just declare a label first. And then in your branch opcode, you're going to get the address of the branch opcode. And using JIT patch at, you can patch the branch back to the label. To generate the function prologue, function epilogue, you have JIT prologue, JIT epilogue. It's not that, I mean, it's obvious. And for code generation, you just call the JIT emit function. It returns a pointer to the function that you just created. Finally, for seeing the disassembly of the code that you created, you can just call JIT disassemble. So on top, you have an example, for instance, of a macro that I call with three parameters. It's just a dumb A plus B equals C, or sorry, C, well, you understand, I hope. And this is what, you know, it generates on four different architectures. On x86 64-bit, it's going to use the LEA instruction. On MIPS64, it's going to use the DADU instructions. On PowerPC, it's going to use the ADD instructions. On SH4, so the SH4 has 16 bits instructions, and then it doesn't support three parameters to the instruction. So it's first going to move one register to the result. In this case, I think it's moving R2 to R0, and then just add R1 to R0. And basically, every opcode that are supported by GNU Lightning can either result in one instruction if the architecture supports it in one instruction. Otherwise, it's going to, you know, find a way to generate the code that reproduce the behavior. A wise man once said, unfortunately, no one can be told what GNU Lightning is. You have to see it for yourself. So I'm going to show you a small demo. To understand the demo, you have to imagine yourself, a scripting language that I'm going to call Mindblown. Mindblown works with a memory array of 32K cells. Each cell is assigned 32-bit value, and you have seven different opcodes. The chevrons allow you to switch the current cell. The plus minus allows you to increment, decrement the value of the cell. And the bracket allows you to repeat the content of the cell until the value of the current cell, repeat the code between the brackets until the value of the current cell is zero. Finally, the dot allows you to print a character in the current cell. So let's see if I can switch. Yay! So I'm just going to show you how we can write a JIT engine for that right now in 5 minutes. That's OK. So it's called mb.c. Yeah, so that's my function. All the code of my JIT engine is 92 lines. So here we have my cells array. We first initialize Lightning calling initJIT. We pass it the path to the binary just because Lightning has a built-in disassembler, so it helps it disassemble. Then we're going to create a new compilation state with a JIT new state. We want to create a function, so we're going to call the JIT prolog for creating the prolog of the function. Then we're going to use two registers. The first one will be JIT v1, which is our cell pointer. We just pass it the cell pointer. The second one is the value of the current cell. And what we're going to do is, in the for loop, for each character that we read on the input, standard input, we're going to see if it's a plus, then we just generate an incrementation of the current value. If it's minus, then we just generate a decrementation of the current value. If it's a chevron, then we store the current value to the current pointer. We increment the cell's pointer, and we just load the new value of the current cell. And similarly, if it's a chevron facing left, then we store the old value. We decrement the pointer, then load the new value. If we have an open bracket, then we're going to check the value of the cell counter. If it's zero, that means we don't have to enter the loop. Then we can just exit. And I'm going to talk a bit about it later. Otherwise, we have a label which will allow the closing bracket to jump back to that point. And in the closing bracket, we just check if the value of the current cell is zero, then we want to branch back to the beginning. So we have the JIT patch at, which will branch back to the label. Otherwise, we want this label, to this branch function to jump here after the loop, so we just patch it there. Finally, if we find a dot, we're just going to call JIT prepare, which tells the Lightning that we are going to call a function. Push an argument as a char, signed char, which is the current value, the value of the current cell, and we call the put char function. And that's it. We just emit the function. I'm going to print the disassembly, call the function so we get the output, and a cleanup. So I have my program here that everybody can obviously tell what it does. And I have my BC. I have my program compiled for the exact same code that I showed. I didn't modify it. Compiled for x86, MIPS, and SH4. So I can run it for x86. That's a program output, all the disassembly of the code. Then MBC, MIPS. You have the exact same program that compiled for MIPS. I pass the same program, then you see all the MIPS code. And the same one for SH4. And there you go. Thank you. Yes, the question is why use a JIT compiler in an emulator? It's much faster, like 10 times faster or more. If you just consider the CPU emulation part, there's no comparison. It is light years faster. Yeah.
Regarding Tiki's question, how do you handle precise exceptions, for example, because precise exceptions in your emulator, because if you recompile everything into a JIT, you don't know. Like, you get control back only when you finish the basic block, so you got an exception in the middle of the basic block.
Yeah.
How do you handle that?
So the question is, how do I handle exceptions in the middle of generating a block? Is that right?
No, when you generate the whole basic block and then you execute it, you execute the whole basic block at the time. So if you get an exception in the middle.
Yeah, okay, I understand. You have to see the talk tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I'm talking about code generator, the question I'm going to answer it tomorrow in the talk is about more like a JIT engine. That's like a JIT engine thing. TLDR, all the blocks are connected between each other. They jump to each other. Actually, no, they don't. In my Dynarec, they don't. They jump back to a specific function that I call the dispatcher. And the dispatcher is going to check the status of exceptions and the status of the cycles elapsed and exit if the time is up or if there is an exception. So if I have like a block of compiled code and I get an exception in the middle, I'm going to handle or report the exception only at the end. That works good enough. Yeah. Yes?
So I don't know if the question is for today or tomorrow, but so basically JIT compilers, they do leverage threads in parallel that try to trace the execution, and they try to compile more blocks at the same time, more functions at the same
yep.
time. And can you compare this approach, for instance, to what the QEMU is doing, for instance? And why would you opt for this and not for running your MIPS application?
So the question is, how do I compare what Lightning is doing to what MB is doing?
Well, QEM user mode, for instance.
Yeah.
Why don't you use QEM user mode instead of writing all this?
That's a good question. It was funnier to do it from scratch, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a reason.
And so QEM user mode, I don't know if you can just plug it into a PlayStation emulator that easily. It's, especially user mode, it's mostly... Yeah, okay.
I mean, you can also use system mode. You don't have to use
I mean, you're missing the point. The point there, it was fun to write, you know?
That's a fair answer, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Oh, yep.
There is also a library that JIT compilation. I'm thinking about LulaJIT.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The guy from PyPy, one day he told me that he was doing exactly what you said,
yep.
that he's generating very poor code because it's really fast, and then the compiler is smart enough,
yep.
and the compiler says, developers are writing poor code anyway, so I have to
yep.
do poor code, I can go fast. So I was thinking, do you know if there is some different approach between LuaJIT, PyPy, and this library?
So
we have to cut. Sorry.
We have to cut. We can talk after if you want. Yeah.